Hello everyone and welcome to the Council of Elrond. I'm Dave and with me is my co-host Johnny, and today we are joined by Stephen from The Red Book on YouTube to discuss everything concerning the first official concept art released by Warner Brothers on the upcoming film The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim, and the article that followed. But first, if you guys haven't yet subscribed to The Red Book on YouTube, I would thoroughly recommend doing that, as Stephen gives a great in-depth analysis and his own interpretation on Tolkien's Legendarium with his lovely, soothing Scottish accent. Between giving a new perspective on the Legendarium or talking about Tolkien inconsistencies, The Red Book is a great channel for any fan of Middle-earth. So we'll drop all the links to Stephen's socials and YouTube account in the podcast description below, so keep an eye out for that. But yeah, welcome Stephen. Welcome to our lovely show. It's great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. You're the first podcast I've ever been on, so hopefully not the last. You know, see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Glad to be here.
but before we actually start, would you like to tell the listeners exactly what you do and where we can find you?
Well, you summed it up probably better than I would, but I'm Stephen from Red Book. I started my YouTube channel last May, and it's quite strange being here to talk about this film because I basically never talk about adaptations. It's a Tolkien channel, and everything for people who are just kind of getting into Tolkien, all the way up to hopefully people who are really well versed in the Legendarium. There's a lot of good discussions and comments in all these videos, which I really appreciate. And everything from, like you say, my analysis of the work to just using the text to answer some in-depth questions or examining how Tolkien's writing changed over time. So there's quite a lot of material there. And like you say, the link will be there, and it'd be great if people who aren't aware of the channel would go and check out a few videos, see if you like it.
Of course, yeah. It's amazing because I just kind of assumed that you've been doing YouTube videos for so long, because I don't know, they seem so professional. I actually went back to look at your very first video and it seemed really
rough.
Really professional.
And it's always nervous for a content creator.
Well, I looked at all the comments as well, and I saw lots of YouTubers that have been in the game for a long time. They were saying, like, I think it was Timbo Took said something like, if this is your starting off point, then you don't have much further to grow because it's almost perfect. So kudos on that.
Yeah, it's that video was my very first, not just the first YouTube video. I'd never made any kind of video before, but I had a bit of kind of technical help from there's one channel in particular called Lore of the Rings. It's not a huge channel, but I recommend that one. And I think I've changed a lot since then. It's kind of rough going back to hear how I recorded and all that kind of stuff. But you know, it's not even a year old, and I've got a lot of experience for writing Tolkien. Though I was doing that for 4 or 5 years before YouTube, so I had a lot of material I could bring over. So I think that's the most important part apart from the visuals. But it's been good so far. I think the improvements there for people to see, to be honest. So hopefully.
Good stuff.
Very good. Yeah. And by the way, are you guys surviving Storm Eunice, or is that a thing in Spain? I know over here it's not as windy as it is in the UK, but how is it over in Scotland?
A typical Friday afternoon, it looks like, but it was it's more sleet. It's like it's too wet for the snow to settle, but it's trying its best anyway. So some people were getting sent home early from work and all that, so it's pretty bad today, but we're kind of used to it here.
Yeah. But actually, going back to speaking about YouTube channels as well and setting up YouTube channels, Dave and I, we made our venture into the world of YouTube just a few days ago with our first YouTube video, which was a bit of an accident, to be quite honest. We had a guest on and we just recorded we did like a screen grab while we were recording, and then afterwards when it was all finished, we said, hey, it might be a good idea to throw this up on YouTube. And we kind of, so we hadn't prepared for it properly. We were Like, I mean, we didn't have our lightings all perfect and things, so it was a bit of a, it wasn't a great starting off point. So I think we've got plenty of room to grow, grow from.
We set the bar extremely low, so
yeah,
it can only get better. So about this new film, The War of the Rohirrim. This first look and release date might have gone under the radar for many because of the whole Amazon releasing their trailer and whatnot, but I don't think the timing of this announcement is any coincidence, because, you know, I'd suspect Warner Bros. They probably want to ride this Lord of the Rings hype as much as they can. So, yeah, I think it came out less than 24 hours after Amazon's teaser. But before we actually pull up the first look of the show, let me just read what Variety had to say. They said, quote, set roughly 2 centuries before the events of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim will explore the exploits of Helm Hammerhand, the King of Rohan, and the creation of Helm's Deep, the stronghold featured in Peter Jackson's The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. So that's a pretty cool opening statement. Stephen, what do you think is going on here? Who is Helm Hammerhand, for those who don't know? And what are we likely to see from this movie?
Oh, that's quite a lot there, but...
Yeah, sorry. Let's start off with, who is Helm Hammerhand?
Well, Helm Hammerhand was the... Oh, I'm going to end up giving spoilers here for writings from 60 years ago, but he's the ninth King of Rohan and the last of the first line of kings. So that line ended with him, and people familiar with Lord of the Rings will know the second line ended with Théoden. So this is how far back we're going. And he's, I would say, a bit of a eccentric figure. He's kind of known for killing people with his bare fists. And he was, Helm's Deep is named after him, of course. And he is quite a prominent figure during what's called the Long Winter. So it was a war between Rohan and the Dunlendings. And I think it's a kind of perfect character and story to do for a film. I don't think you would do a series based on Helm Hammerhand, but I think they've been really clever by doing this as a film, because it's interesting enough with a war against the Dunlendings, but it's familiar to people who only know the Lord of the Rings as well, with that whole Rohan imagery and all this kind of thing. So he's a famous figure in Rohan's history, probably only less famous than the first king, Eorl, but I think he's there's a good opportunity here to show something really interesting with him, because, like I say, he's very eccentric and quite crazy, I would say, as well, based on what Tolkien had written about him. He's quite a strange character for Tolkien, so I'm kind of looking forward to see what they do with him, to be honest. So we're just going back 250 years, and one of Rohan's most interesting kings, I would say.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he actually looks like in the animation that they do, because obviously his name Hammerhand, and as you said there, he's kind of famous for killing people with his hands, and I think he's been described as having like big kind of heavy hands anyway, so I can think the animators can really go to town on that, and they can you know, draw him with these quite large fists and things on him. I think when the first images came out, whatever that was, about 7 months ago or quite a while ago, or the first announcement came out, sorry, not the images. I think I was looking back into who he was and I'd forgotten all about him and stuff. So is it true that he, and again, I've forgotten that since in the last couple of months, but is it true that he used to sometimes go into battle with no weapons and just go in with his fists?
Yeah, that's what he's known for. It's he's obviously really famous for killing. There's one man in particular called Freka, who he kills with like a punch when he takes him out of the Golden Hall. But he's known for during the actual war, he would go into the ranks of the Dunlendings dressed in like white, pretending to be like Tolkien says, is pretending to be like a snow troll, and he would just kill men with his bare hands, you know. So this is the kind of thing that they're probably really looking forward to animating, you know. It's so you get this image of him like a large guy with like huge beard, all kind of dressed in white with like frost in his beard and all that, just running around killing people with his hands. So he's known
deadly.
He has to use his hands. So there's been a lot of people drawing like artist impressions of him, and they're always giving him like big swords or big axes, and everyone's like, no, he has to just kill people with his hands. That's what he's known for. So they need to get that part right.
That's what I was saying. In the anime, the animators can go ahead and instead of giving him a big axe, they could just give him, you know,
big hands,
huge hands. Just ginormous hands, because that could be kind of cool. And obviously then if he goes into battle wearing all white, a couple of moments later it's just going to be completely red, and that could be a cool visual as well.
And as I've always said, Tolkien, these kind of stories for Tolkien would really benefit from animation. I don't think it would maybe be a bit goofy if they were doing it in a live action kind of setting, but with like the animation style, they could really do something interesting, like, so it's not really cheesy that he's running around killing people with his hands. It could stylistically, they could really pull it off depending on what it's going to look like. So no, who knows what that will be like. But
I mean, if he ever runs into Frodo, he can just say, "You have my hands." Everyone's like offering Frodo all these great weapons. He's like, high five.
Yeah, just covering Frodo's head with his hand. You know, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Probably. I was just going to ask, Johnny, if you'd like to pull up the images that were released, because there's two. It's strange. When you go onto Variety, there's that one image, and then if you go onto like IGN...
I'll bring this one up first.
Bring whichever one up first, and we can... Yeah, so this is the one that was released by Variety. So, guys, where do we think this is? I know Johnny speculated that this might be Helm's Deep, but Johnny, is that what you're going with, Helm's Deep?
That wasn't my speculation. When we were talking about the two images before we started recording, I said, "Oh, which image do you mean? The one he's gone up to Edoras, or the one that looks a bit like Helm's Deep?" And I said that mainly because of... you're looking at, you can see these mountains around, there's a big wide open area, but then there's this little mound here. And I was mainly saying about Helm's Deep in the movies, where one of the Uruk-hai that's leading the army, he like comes up on this mound and stands there and gives his battle cry. But in terms of if I actually think it is Helm's Deep, I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. It could be. I mean, it's we're going to be based in Rohan, and this is going to be about the character that we're speaking about, of Helm Hammerhand, which Helm's Deep is named after. So we saw obviously the one image of Edoras, which we were pretty sure of, but it would definitely make sense that this could be Helm's Deep as well.
Yeah, what do you think, Stephen? Where do you think is this location?
I don't think it's Helm's Deep. Helm's Deep is the description we're giving of it. It's not actually so far off what Peter Jackson and co were doing in their films. You know, it's built on a rock, and that's connected to what's called the Deeping Wall. It's like a really deep valley in the White Mountains. So this seems a bit too open for it to be Helm's Deep, but could be. But I looked at that and I thought it was maybe Edoras, because it looks like there's something on top of the mound there.
But okay. So this actually could be Edoras up here, is it?
Yeah.
On top of that. We're just really far away from it.
It could be, but there's also there's other places in Rohan that are really important as well. Like there's the home of the kings before this time, which has still been held by descendants of kings. So there's the Aldburg, for example. That's where the first king, Earl, was. That's where the kings were before the Golden Hall. So that's on a green hill in the Fold. You know, you hear Theoden speaking of the West Fold and this kind of thing. So there's actually a green hill that's a really important settlement in Rohan called the Aldburg, which the descendants of the second king, Brego, they're housed there all the way through to the Fourth Age. So it could be something like that. And that's next to the White Mountains as well. So it's maybe closer to that than either one. It just depends how deep they're going with the geography of Rohan. But it'd be quite cool if that was the place they were down.
Well, I mean, they don't have a whole pile of story to actually go off. So I think maybe they could kind of focus on the geography almost in of Rohan and use that to be, I don't know, the main kind of thing, pulling the story together, which would be really cool.
Yeah, because it can't be, you know, in the films with the story of the Two Towers, we know Helm's Deep and Edoras are they're the main locations. But this is an opportunity to show that Rohan isn't just one little settlement and then that fortress. You know, you've got an opportunity to have the war across the whole land. So they might even invent places, who knows, but it'd be quite good if they were showing more than just Edoras and Helm's Deep, and I think they will.
Yeah, I'd like to see some more locations, and I think there's no harm in having places styled the same way as Edoras. Maybe that's just like the Rohan style back in those days. They built on a big hill and that was their fortress. Looking at all these people, it's hard to tell. Is it Rohan? I think I'm pretty sure that's Rohan in the distance, as in the Rohirrim, and then in front of us are the orcs and Haradrim, I'm guessing. It is hard to tell, but like I think that the Rohirrim have shields that are like green with some white bits on them. So, yeah, I don't know.
Circular shields.
Yeah, circular shields.
And a lot of horses, so.
And it's going to be all stylized in the same way that Peter Jackson's movies were. But for anyone that doesn't know, this will actually be an anime-style film about Rohan releasing in April 2024. And I just want to read a little bit from the article here. Variety said, "The War of the Rohirrim is also drawing much of its creative DNA from Jackson's six features set in Middle-earth. Philippa Boyens, who was part of the Oscar-winning screenwriting team for The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit trilogies, is executive producing the film. Phoebe Gittins, which is Boyens' daughter, and writing partner Artie Papagiorgio are penning the screenplay based on a script from Jeffrey Addis and Will Matthews, and the creative team includes Sir Richard Taylor, who won Oscars for makeup and visual effects for The Lord of the Rings, Alan Lee, who won an Oscar for art direction for Lord of the Rings, and Tolkien illustrator John Howe." So this will directly, it's confirmed that this will be in the continuity and canon of Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings. So how does that make you feel, Johnny?
Yeah, I like it. I'm happy about it. I mean, if they had told me that it was going to be something completely different, I think I'd be quite happy as well. But obviously, it's nice to have something linking it back to those memories that we have of watching the movies. And obviously, from the images that we can see here, the one that we're looking at the moment of the big Mumical, he obviously just looks exactly like the ones that we saw in Peter Jackson's one. He looks a little bit maybe not as enormous, but maybe that's just the angle of this image. But yeah, I'm again, I love the images that we got from the Rohirrim and all of Rohan from Peter Jackson's movies. So it's really going to be nice to get thrown back into that world, but in a kind of an anime style. And also, when we first heard that it was going to be an anime movie, I was a little bit concerned because I'm not a huge anime fan. But looking at these couple of images that have come out, it looks incredible, and now I'm really up for it now.
Yeah, like I guess I don't like the sound of the word anime, because just from what I've seen, it's all like, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, all that like really artistic, kind of over the top, like crazy massive eyes. But then when I saw this image, I was like, this is perfect. It's literally, it looks photo real almost. And
the mountains in the background there look incredible, don't they?
Just give me a whole movie on this. But for me, I was delighted to hear that it was set in the same continuity as Peter Jackson's, just because we're not going to get rehashed stories. We're just going to get his world, which I think everyone absolutely fell in love with. So I couldn't be more excited. But Stephen, are you glad to see the likes of Sir Richard Taylor, Philippa Boyens, Alan Lee and John Howe all back on board?
Kind of. especially John Howe and Alan Lee, you know, they're great. And I think especially with John Howe, it's I kind of prefer John Howe's work to Alan Lee when it comes to artwork of people. I think Alan Lee's look a bit anemic, but I think what you were saying there about it being set or stylized with Peter Jackson's movies, I think they've been really clever with that, because I think when you, at the beginning of this, you said there's a huge focus on the Rings of Power series, and people are always asking about, is this going, are the elves going to look like they do in from Peter Jackson's movies? Are all these characters going to look the same? Are you going to use the same music? All this kind of stuff. And I think they've been really clever releasing images like this and confirming that it's the same style. You're going to see the same armor that the Rohirrim were wearing in The Two Towers and The Return of the King, and Rohan's going to look the same. And it's letting people know that this Amazon show might be something completely different, but you'll be right at home with this, you know, this story we're doing. I think they know what they're doing with that. But yeah. I think my only complaint, and this might sound like a real nitpick here, but even though I thought Rohan was, you know, it's absolutely beautiful in the movies, those huge wide open spaces and the mountains and all the New Zealand landscapes and everything like that, it's strange because it's quite different from the Rohan that Tolkien had written about in the books, where it seemed very arid in the films, where everything's brown, and Rohan's supposed to be really lush and green, with green plains for the horses and tall grass, and it'd be really interesting to see someone do Rohan that way. And that's kind of what I was looking for when you hear about other people doing adaptations. I'm like, oh, here's a chance to do something that's not the Peter Jackson style, which, you know, I'm not complaining about really, but I like to see what other people would imagine this world like. I don't think Peter Jackson should have a grip on it. Everything should look how it looked in the movies. That's my only complaint. But if it looks like it, if Rohan looks like it did in the movies, they're still going to pull it off, and it's still going to look really good. So I'm kind of not upset, but it'd been great to see another design. But the fact that they're doing the design from the movies still means it's going to look great. So it's kind of like a win-win anyway, I think.
Sure. Yeah, like even when you're looking at this image, they have that, the lighting, it's got that brownish tint to it as well. And it does kind of, it brings you back to Peter Jackson's movies, which is great. But yeah, you're completely right. Maybe in a couple of years' time, there is going to be another anime by another studio, and they'll do their own version of Rohan. So I do feel like this is going to be class, and I'm going to love it. But yeah, there are some missed opportunities, but I do believe that in the next couple of years, we're just going to see more and more of these kind of projects coming out. So I don't feel too bad about it. It just means we'll have to wait a little bit longer. So guys, I also have a sneaky feeling that we might not get Howard Shore, but we're going to get some returning themes as well. And for me, and probably for Johnny as well, this is like the best part of Peter Jackson's movies, is just getting to hear, especially that Rohan theme. So if we don't get it in this movie, I will be bitterly disgusted and disappointed as well. But what do you guys think? Do you think that they will include Shore, or they'll just have the rights to his music? And I don't know. How do you think they're going to deal with that, John?
Well, I've no idea. I mean, it could maybe it'll depend on how the first series of the Rings of Power is received. And if Howard Shore sees that people are still crying out for more of his music, and if, I mean, I can't see how they wouldn't, but obviously he's involved in the upcoming Amazon Rings of Power. So that was a huge, for me and Dave anyway, we've spoken about it before, that was a huge point for us, where we were thinking, this is just incredible. We absolutely like grew up on those soundtracks from the first movies, from the Peter Jackson movie, sorry, and we absolutely are huge fans of Howard Shore. So I'm really, really excited to see him come back in the Rings of Power. Now, As to whether they'll be able to get him for this, I mean, again, that would be incredible. I mean, we're just speculating on whether, like, I mean, it's a long time away before we're going to hear any sort of confirmation on things like that. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I think most people, well, a lot of people would say that one of their favorite themes from the three movies was the Rohan theme. And it's just really beautifully done and epically done. And if you watch the movies, and if you listen to the music over the course of the movies, he does little small nuances and details where he actually changes the theme going through it, and how it starts off with certain instruments that are a little bit more somber, and as it builds, and then as Rohan joins and meets up with Gondor and has the battle on the Pelennor Fields, it's a much more triumphant version of the theme. And so Howard Shore is just a master of little details like that, kind of starting off with this kind of violin, kind of a sad version, then building it and building it until by the third movie you were really accustomed to the theme, but you could hear it in a whole new light with these more brass and trumpets. And he's just he's an absolute master and a legend. So I would be really happy if he came back with that. And now if he did come back, I mean, of course I'd love to hear some of the same themes as well for Rohan, but I'm sure as well he'd be able to work his magic and do maybe, I don't know if it would be a completely new theme. I'm sure he could go using the same instruments and maybe in some of the same keys and kind of find something similar that's still familiar. Maybe something new, but it's still with a familiar sound. So I don't know. I'm happy to just, if they got someone like Howard Shore on, to just say, here, look, you do what you think is best. And I'm not too sure more about that, but I'd be delighted, of course.
I mean, Howard Shore, he had themes for different peoples and armies and all that kind of stuff, but he also had individual, like, people teams. There's like certain characters, like obviously Gollum has his own little team. I'm pretty sure
the ring has this theme.
Yeah, so he has individual themes, so there might be like a Helm Hammerhand theme, and that could like merge into the Rohan one. So I don't know.
There will, of course.
It's exciting. It's exciting to see what he'll do. If he's involved.
Yeah, it's big if there. But no, as you were saying there, maybe he'll give a theme to Helm Hammerhand. And I'm sure maybe some of the main characters will have their own little themes, and maybe we'll see some other characters. You know, we could see characters like, I don't know, maybe Gandalf or even Saruman, people that we could see them appearing as well. And he might give them a little theme as well. But as to whether or not he uses the exact same Rohan theme and blends that into it as well, that remains to be seen. But remains to be seen if he's even involved at all. So yeah, it's a whole lot of speculation.
I was actually going to ask about that as well. So we know that we're going to be getting Helm Hammerhand, but do you think we could get some familiar faces or people that, you know, Tolkien fans would actually know, like Gandalf or Saruman? What do you think, Stephen?
In terms of the story as it was written, they wouldn't be there. Saruman could make an appearance after this actual war they're talking about, because there's some details with Saruman at the coronation of Freyleif, who's the son of Helm, and this is where Saruman appears after he's been in isolation for years and years, but then he suddenly appears at Rohan offering friendship to the new king, and he wants he gets given the keys to Orthanc, so and this is to protect, ironically based on what Saruman does later, it was to protect Rohan from the Dunlendings. So this was like a kind of buffer between them. They'd have Saruman and Isengard, because this whole time the Dunlendings are they've occupied Isengard, so they could use Saruman for sure, depending how far they're going with the timeline here, or if it's purely a Helm Hammerhand story, it probably wouldn't make an appearance. But I've got a feeling it will not just be his story, it'll be the aftermath, you know, what happened after that, and that will be a kind of link to these people that want to know how this is connected to the story that comes later in Lord of the Rings. So I would probably bet money on Saruman being mentioned or making an appearance, even if it's brief. I wouldn't say so for Gandalf. And for other recognisable characters, I think that's what's interesting. It's because this is a story of men, you know, and we're a couple of centuries before The Lord of the Rings. So you're not really going to get any familiar men, of course. And this is a story in a war that's really about warring kingdoms of men. So I'd hope that they wouldn't shoehorn characters that shouldn't be there just for that recognition. But someone like Saruman would work, and that could be really good if they involved him. But that would be at the end, the tail end of the story. But who knows what creative, you know, licenses they'll take if they'll fit Gandalf in there. I'm sure it wouldn't feel out of place. I'm sure that could work, but Saruman would definitely work.
Yeah, they could even just mention, as you said, they could even just mention the likes of Gandalf or Saruman, and just kind of, you know, say like, oh, we've got word from such and such a person, just to mention their name. And then what I'm thinking is that maybe they could mention the name Gandalf and then use that in like their trailer to just be like, so people would hear the name Gandalf in the trailer while seeing all the other visuals and kind of go, oh, I recognize that name, I recognize that armor, and I'm going to go and see that movie.
Do you work in marketing at all? You know, that's that's exactly what they
I don't
exactly
but do.
Hire me. Or they could have Saruman showing up in kind of like a post-credit scene, like all the Marvel movies do now.
That's what I imagined when I was saying that. I said, I bet they'll do it like end credits, and a white wizard will show up, you know, and it was something like that. Hopefully it's better than that. But
yeah.
So Warner Brothers, I keep saying Warner Brothers. Is it Warner Bros? I think it's Warner Bros.
They've written Warner Bros, but I'm pretty sure everybody can say Warner Brothers.
So Warner Brothers Pictures Group Chairman Toby Emmerich has said, "It is a gift to be able to revisit Middle-earth with many of the same creative visionaries and the talented Kenji Kamiyama at the helm." I like the way he used the word helm here. "This will be an epic portrayal unlike anything audiences have ever seen." So that sentence alone just gave me a little bit of goosebumps. Again, I've got goosebumps on my arm right now. So we already know that there's going to be Haradrim, Mumakil, Dunlendings, Rohirrim, Easterlings. But Stephen, I just wanted to ask, what exactly do you think we'll see in this story? We already kind of know what kind of people are going to be in it, but do you think they're just going to redo the same story of Helm Hammerhand killing Freka and the whole wedding? Or do you think they're going to create something new? Or is there anything else that we don't know of? Perhaps.
I think there's a lot of room to interpret what actually happened during this war, because the text does focus on Helm and going to Helm's Deep, the long winter that happens there, but there's a lot of material to do with Gondor as well. I don't know if they're going to involve that, because it's quite strange seeing this image with the Haradrim there, because the Haradrim and the Corsairs are fighting Gondor at this time, and that's around the coast and up at the River Isen as well. It's so they're kind of cut off from each other. They're fighting Gondor, and the Dunlendings are fighting the Rohirrim, and it seems that they're doing some sort of crossover here, so they may be taking liberties and having more than just Rohan and Dunland fighting here. They're going to have, like you say, the Haradrim are going to be there, but that means they might have Gondor there as well, because they are the ones that are fighting them in the story. So I think it will focus on Helm and Helm's Deep, the Long Winter, but there's plenty of room there for them to create battles. A lot of the battles aren't written about, but we know that they must have taken place because they're fighting in this war. So I think plenty of room to add their own material, but it would probably still fit. It would fit in with, because like, you know, the appendices aren't vast in terms of real details and dialogue related to the story. They're going to have to invent what everyone's saying anyway. There's very little dialogue. So why not just start merging the bigger picture, involve Gondor, involve the Corsairs and the Haradrim and Rohan itself, and maybe use that as an opportunity to show the strength of unity between Gondor and Rohan that we see in The Lord of the Rings. Maybe something like that they're going for. But I think most of what we see is going to be made up. I'm not necessarily saying that's bad, but they kind of have to make it up because there's just not enough. There's not enough for a full movie just to focus on Helm himself, in my opinion.
Yeah. And like you mentioned that they might be bringing Gondor into it as well. And I say, let them come because I want to see as many more tribes and armies and more teams coming back in. I just want to see Gondor, Rohan, Dunlendings throw in the hobbits. Actually, no, don't throw in the hobbits.
Well, they could throw in hobbits.
The hobbits could be there, yeah.
If we're focusing on, like we say, we don't really know what they're focusing on, but if this is really related to the Long Winter, that's kind of known in Shire history, and that's one of the reasons they say that Gandalf came to help hobbits and like being in the company of hobbits. It's because of how they reacted to the Long Winter that killed, you know, thousands of them in the Shire. So I don't know if they'll go that far. That's maybe stretching to like a TV series and not a film, but it wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility for the Shire to be mentioned, and that would probably bring in Gandalf like you mentioned earlier, but we don't really know those details yet.
Name drops. But this image is pretty cool as well. Johnny, what do you think's going on here? Because the first thing I noticed was the fire coming out of the Moomical's like little back truck thing. It's kind of like a machine gun. It's like, what's going on?
It looks like Fast and Furious. Or something. Yeah. He just got some souped up exhaust pipes on his head. So I don't know what's going on with that.
To War of Two Rohan. It's a cool image, but I have seen a couple of people saying, oh, it's not lore accurate. When did a Moomakil attack Edoras? But like Stephen says, we're probably going to have to see a lot of invention and imagination used in this movie. So I just think that looks cool. And again, it is an anime, so maybe it won't be taken as seriously as some of the Lord of the Rings films. So I don't mind. I just want to see cool visuals and Moomakil's fighting bridges and knocking down walls at Edoras. Yeah. It looks awesome.
Of course. And as you were saying, like there's always going to be people online complaining about certain things. And I mean, that's fine. They can complain if they want. But the thing is, We all love the lore. We all respect the lore that Tolkien wrote. And I've seen lots of people saying, like, you know, about the upcoming Amazon series, like, oh, they're going to be destroying Tolkien's... I mean, I don't think anything's going to be destroyed. The lore is still there. The books are still there. If you don't like the series that come out in the future, you don't have to watch them. And that doesn't mean that the books are going to be any the lesser than what they are right now. I mean, we're still always going to have that. So we don't need to worry too much. As opposed to thinking that people are like disrespecting them or something like that. I mean, that's a different story. Maybe that can happen as well. And that's obviously not really what you want. But in terms of this type of a story where there is, as we said before, so much room for, there's so much scope where they can kind of fill in the blanks, because we know that there was, like Stephen said, there was a war happening here, but we don't really know much about the individual battles. And maybe it didn't specifically say that the Moomakil were in Edoras, but maybe they didn't say that they weren't either. So, I mean, and again, sometimes if I see, I think we have to remember it's an adaptation of Tolkien's world and Tolkien's story. So it is like, you know, an adaptation is not always to the letter of the law exactly going to be the same. So, I mean, I don't think we should really get too hung up on little details like that as well. And the same with in the Rings of Power series, if things aren't exactly the same, we need to try and say, okay, we can understand for the reason of story. And I mean, a book is one like form of telling a story, and a movie is a different one, and a series is a completely different one as well. So we need to understand that as well, that from a storytelling point of view, maybe it's you know, it is a different thing, and I don't know, maybe accept that and just try and enjoy it. As you said, if we see Gondor arriving and you know, the Easterlings and the Haradrim, etc., I mean, it could just be really cool visually, and I mean, we should just try and enjoy that for what it is as well, and then come away from it and think ourselves, well, maybe that's not what Tolkien thought. But Tolkien himself also basically told us that, I can't remember the exact quote, but Tolkien has some sort of a quote saying that his world that he created is not for, it's not like that's it and nobody can touch it ever. He kind of said, you know, that it's there for people with their own paintbrushes to come in and with their own music and to kind of adapt and change and to develop it from what he had created. So he wasn't like, I hold the keys and nobody can touch it. So that's also something that we should bear in mind, that that's what Tolkien himself wanted.
Yeah.
But of course, maybe Stephen, you probably know more than me on that.
Well, I think people need to pick their battles here, because like we're just, in terms of this image, for example, yeah, people are right. It's not lore accurate, if they'll say that, but it's hardly like an offence to Tolkien to change things to this degree. It's, so I find it really strange that people would get so wound up by it. Like, this attack didn't happen in any of the text. And you're like, well, okay, but is it that big a deal? It's not changing Helm Hammerhand's character and the events of the story to such a degree, because the important part of this story is the whole the usurping of the throne, and you know, these are the important parts. So Helm and his children, what happens to them? That stuff should all still be there. And if they're adding a bit of their own creative license for how battles will play out, it's not changing what the essence of the story is. And I think if that's remaining the way Tolkien had written it, you can't really complain. It's a bit like people complaining about the armor. A lot of people complain about the armor that people wear in these adaptations. It should always be chain. It shouldn't be plate, because of the period it's based on, what they would wear in that. And Tolkien did say it's always like chain. But then I'm thinking, is that like the hill to die on? You know, does it really annoy you so much? there's far bigger problems with adaptations than, you know, a bit of your own creative license. Just we want to imagine them looking like this, let's do it like this. I think it's not that big an issue. So like you say, it's, the books are still there, and the bottom line is, if we just followed the story of Helm Hammerhand to the letter, there'd be very little to adapt. There'd be almost no dialogue, like I said earlier. It would quite interest me, because it's quite a bit of intrigue with you know, power moves for the throne and all this kind of stuff. It's more it's more Game of Thrones than Lord of the Rings, but it would just be that, you know, and
yeah,
all this extra stuff that's not written. If you're not going to include that, then what's going to be there? It's, you have to just think that this is an adaptation of one character's story, and there's nothing wrong with this kind of embellishment. In my opinion, it's not that big a deal, but that's just my opinion on it.
True.
Actually, I used to like this, but I've just seen that the Mumica, it looks like he only has 4 tusks instead of 6, so actually now I hate it.
Shocking. That Mumica doesn't look as big as well, so
it's not lore correct, so no, I'm not going to give it a chance.
The Ents only had 6 toes, not 7, so I don't like it.
There are people like that, you know. It's very strange when it gets to that level of detail. It's that's just nitpicking, in my opinion.
The article also mentions that casting will be announced shortly, so I really hope that doesn't happen, by the way, before this episode comes out on Wednesday, because that'll be a pain in the ass.
I doubt it.
Yeah, well, who knows? We recorded our episode on the Rings of Power, all the like posters, the hands, and we just got that out before the trailer dropped, because that would have been all completely futile. But yeah, I just wanted to ask both of you guys, who would you cast as Helm Hammerhand? So I'll start with, well, maybe while you're thinking, I'll give you who I think should be Helm Hammerhand. J.K. Simmons would be a brilliant voice actor for her, because he is, well, I don't need to give you the reasons why he's an incredible actor, but we've actually seen him in a animation recently, which was it Invincible, I think it was? Yeah, Invisible? No, yeah, Invincible. So in that he plays a character, Omni-Man. He's just like big, strong, powerful. I think he's got some menacing hands where he kills people with his bare hands and that as well. So he would suit the role perfectly for me. So what about you guys? I'll go to Johnny first.
Oh, I don't know. I hate these kind of questions. I always kind of go blank. I don't know why, but the first person that came to mind was, oh, flip, I can't even remember his name now.
Rachel McAdams.
He plays AMR, and he plays the guy from The Boys as well.
Carl Urban.
I mean, Carl Urban. I mean, I don't know why. I immediately thought of the guy from The Boys, and I was like, wait a minute, that's AMR. So when I thought of his voice, I mean, he's got a completely different accent in The Boys than he does in
fucking
the
diabolical.
So I just kind of thought of him as being this like complete badass, and then like a moment later I was like, wait a minute, he plays one of the Rohirrims. So that was a really weird kind of roundabout way to get back to someone.
But
I can't think of anyone else really at the moment, but there's probably I don't know,
that'd be nice. That'd be nice, because it wouldn't break the fourth wall either. It's a completely different thing. It's just a voice as well, so I think that'd be really nice for a previous actor. It doesn't have to be Carol Urban, but one of the actors that was on Lord of the Rings. It just gives them a chance to, you know, take on a new character in the same continuity. I don't know, there's something quite beautiful about that. What about you, Stephen?
A name that came to mind straight away, I'm not just picking him because he's from Scotland, but Graham McTavish, who was Dwalin in the Hobbit movies. And he's done a few animated voices recently. He was in the Witcher, Nightmare of the Wolf.
Yeah,
he was in Castlevania as well, and he immediately came to mind. I think he'd be a really imposing kind of voice for him. And I know with Rohan, we're not imagining them having Scottish accents or anything like that, but I think he's good at accents, and he's got that kind of menacing kind of voice behind them. So, and
he's the word I was thinking.
Yeah, and he's menacing. been in the films before, like you said, even though there were those three bad ones. But I think he would really work.
Fellowship of the Ring. No. I actually just saw that episode of The Witcher that he first shows up in, and I was like, that's the dude from Lord of the Rings, or from The Hobbit. Yeah, Graham McTavish.
It's a bit strange as well that I wasn't like thinking of any actress specifically, but when you immediately asked me for a Helm Hammerhand, I don't know why I thought it'd be cool if he had a Scottish accent. I don't really know why. I just and again, I thought that wouldn't really be fitting, but I don't know why. There's just something in my heart was like, that's what it should be.
It's something to do with,
for sure. So there you go, Stephen.
A menacing man running around killing people with his bare hands. I'm like, yeah, needs to be a Scottish accent.
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
Okay, calm down. I'm only joking. But before we finish, did you guys actually see Peter Jackson's Facebook post where he shared the Variety article?
I haven't.
No.
Could you? No, he it was pretty cool. He basically just shared it, and he said, "Arise, riders of Rohan, a sword day, a red day, ere the sun rises. Ooh. Can't wait for 2022. I'll be 2024. I'll be the first in line to see this movie on the big screen." So I thought that was really nice.
Ah, class.
His backing. But I just wanted to ask as well, do you think there's any chance of Peter Jackson playing any role in this movie? Like, even as an advisor? Not like in the movie. I just mean like, could he?
They draw in a little Peter Jackson, like eating a carrot or something. Yeah.
Does he have his weight back? No, remember he lost a lot of weight. If he's back to his roundness, he would play Freka. He'd be quite good at that. No, because Helm comments that he's, he's basically getting wider before he murders him with his fists. So.
Growing sideways.
Yep.
Yeah. But aside from actually being in the film, do you think he would have any part to play behind the camera? No, behind the drawing board? What do you think, John?
I mean, I don't know. It's Peter Jackson. His name is synonymous with, you know, successful Lord of the Rings movies. So it could never be a bad thing. At this stage, I think they're probably quite far into production in terms of they have a good idea of who they know who's going to be working on it. We already know, for example, Philippa Boyens, who worked so closely with Peter Jackson in those movies. She is a big part of the production. So if he were to come on, I think it would have probably happened by now already. And they probably would have thrown his name out there as well to get to hype it up even more. So I don't think so. I don't think it's going to... I don't think that's going to be a possibility. I mean, if it came out in the next few days that he is involved, I would have absolutely no problem with that either as well. Of course, the imagery is based on his original movies as well. So,
yeah,
I mean, if he is, fantastic, and I'm all for it. But if I don't think it needs him in there either to be a success.
Hmm. What do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, I agree. I think if Peter Jackson was involved, he would have been the first name mentioned again, like what I was saying earlier about showing how different it is from the Amazon show, because we're talking about two different companies here, kind of trying to get everyone's attention for this. So if you had Peter Jackson involved, that you'd be shouting it from the rooftops, I think. So
that's true.
Maybe if this is a success, it will be a success, because it's too big to fail, basically. But if they're doing more after this, you never know. They might bring him on, but I don't think he's involved in this, and it would be too late to involve him now. But crazier things have happened.
Yeah, true. And the fact that he actually put up that Facebook post, it kind of seems like, you know, he said, I'll be the first one in line to see this movie. So it suggests that he's just really looking forward to seeing it for the first time. Yeah. Before we let you go, actually, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Rings of Power teaser trailer. You don't have to go into it in too much detail, but let's say in two or three sentences.
You put me on the spot here. I've not been asked what I thought about it yet.
We're getting an exclusive.
I think quite strange. I'd describe it as probably underwhelming. I think some of the complaints people have are a bit unrealistic. Like, people keep saying it looks really cheap and fake and all this, and then we found out that most of it isn't actually CG. Like, everyone was saying everything looked like CG, and I'm like, well, it's not really. They've shown all the behind the scenes for it and all this. But I think there's a few parts that are really confusing me. Like, everyone talks about the Meteor Man and how the elves look, and it maybe seems a bit off, but I'm not really bothered by it. It's I'm one of these people that would think, let's wait and see what the show's like, because you can't really base anything off a teaser. A teaser is meant to tease, isn't it? So they didn't give a lot away, of course, but wait and see how these characters sound and what the story's actually like. I think there's not enough there for people to be getting so wound up like they have been. And for this kind of accusation that it doesn't feel like Middle-earth and that, I don't really agree with that either. I think this is another consequence of people wanting it to look exactly like the Peter Jackson movies, and it's not going to. I could still see which characters were elves and the girl that was the hobbit, and it's that the place that looks like Numenor. It's kind of all there for you, and maybe wait until the first episode comes out before we get the pitchforks out. There's a long time before, like a long time of more teasers and more information to come out, and I think it's a bit too early to be getting so angry about it.
Yeah,
I've seen worse teaser trailers, you know.
Yeah, sure. I think Dave, you and I had basically the exact same opinions, that maybe our only kind of weird sort of concern or confusion was maybe that whole story with the Meteor Man thing. Apart from that, we can't really complain too much. I mean, people are going crazy about the elves with short hair and stuff like that as well, and I mean, it is a bit strange. It's a bit of a strange choice, but I mean, they don't all have short hair. We've seen one of the main guys has short hair, and then we've seen an image of what could be Finrod with also with short hair. But it's a bit strange. But again, it's not, like we said, it's not one of those details that we should get completely upset about and, you know, just burn all of your Tolkien memorabilia or something like that. So, we'll have to wait and see.
We will. But if any of you guys, listeners out there, want to hear our thoughts, you can just check out our episode last week where myself and Johnny discussed the Rings of Power teaser trailer with Dan from Voice of Geekdom.
Which is on YouTube as well.
Okay, we can announce it here.
Get that plug in there as well. We're on YouTube for a whole about 5 days now, so go and follow us there, guys.
Okay, but yeah, apart from that, that's pretty much all we have time for today. But Stephen, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute joy, and we'd love to have you on again.
Yeah, I'm definitely up for that. Thanks for inviting me on.
Of course,
our pleasure.
Gun Knuckles for eight.
And Rohan will answer. Muster the Rohirrim.
So yes, ladies and gentlemen, we will put all Stephen's socials in the podcast description. So please go like and subscribe to the... Sorry, go like his videos and then subscribe to the Red Book on YouTube. Don't forget to give our podcast a review and a rating too if you haven't already. And if you want to reach out to us, our links are also in the podcast description. We really want to know what your thoughts are on the announcement too. Are you guys excited to come back to Jackson's version of Middle-earth? Also, let us know who you would pick as Helm Hammerhand as the voice actor, because that's an interesting topic too. So please get in touch. Until next time, guys, farewell.